Hollywood, it's the Jess Cagle Show, your go-to source for the latest pop culture news and great conversations with the most fascinating stars. And now, Jess Cagle and his co-host, Julia Cunningham.
Go, I don't dance, I work. I don't play, I slay. I don't walk, I strike.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Jess Cagle Show with Julia Cunningham. Happy Tuesday, Julia.
Yeah, week is already flying by.
It is flying by. It's a super fun show today. We have Josh Hartnett, heartthrob of mystery, right?
Oh my God.
Pearl Harbor, all those movies. And then
the Faculty.
Like, disappeared.
Yeah.
Faculty. And then he just didn't like being magazine cover boy, all that. He turned down Superman. He went off to London. And did some theater, lives in London now, at least most of the time, and has a couple of kids. And he, over the past couple of years, has been reemerging, doing a lot of these little independent films. And there's this movie Most Wanted, which is a based on a true story about a guy who was falsely imprisoned in Thailand, is really, really good.
Scary.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to him. Yeah, it's... I'm happy that the Canadian police, because they are the villains. I'm happy the Canadian police are getting, it's not just ours.
Yeah, are looking bad, finally.
Finally. Also on the show today, Tay Diggs.
Yes, kind of becoming a friend of the show, which I like.
Yes, he's been here before. He probably follows you on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I felt really special, and then when I went to see that he follows 800,000 people, I felt less special, but I'll still take it as a win.
I feel special too, because he didn't ignore me. It would be worse if he didn't follow you, actually.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But before we get to all of that, we're going to have news for you. We have one of my favorite people here to also talk about one of my favorite things, which is sex on television. There's one thing I love, it is sex on television.
Me too, because I'm a diehard Riverdale fan, so I'm ready.
But of course, as these movies and TV shows get ramp up their productions, one of the big concerns is how are they going to shoot? First of all, how are they going to shoot anything with all of those people crammed into a soundstage? But also, how are they going to shoot sex scenes? And so, anyway, because he's brilliant, Henry Goldblatt, former editor of Entertainment Weekly and amazing, amazing journalist who I've worked with for many, many years, is here to talk about a piece that he wrote for the New York Times about this very subject. How are they going to still have sex on television? Which, Henry, I believe is a matter of utmost importance. And thank you for writing the article. Thank you for being here to talk about it and explain it to us.
We're going through it and we need sex on TV.
Seriously, this is like Pulitzer-worthy investigative journalism right here. Like, yes, I'm going to get to the bottom of sex on TV. But first of all, I feel like I got to hang up because, like, I know there's no world in which I should get top billing over Josh Hartnett and Tay Diggs.
Henry, you know what they're not talking about?
Me?
They're not talking about sex on television, so you should get top billing.
There, but you should definitely ask them about sex on television.
You know what? We will.
Yeah.
Tay's had sex on television. I don't know if Josh has.
And Tay is like on a teen drama on the CW. There's tons of sex.
Hello.
Kinda.
Yeah, there's a lot of sex on that show.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Henry, tell us about it, first of all, how the article came about, but then let's really dive into what these shows are doing.
Well, Jess, the article came about, as you know, because it's two of my favorite things as well, like your sex and television. But in all seriousness, like, so many wonderful and amazing and memorable TV shows use sex as a tool for either humor or for a tool for intimacy or a tool for horror, like in the case of American Horror Story. It's an important part of storytelling. And so when it feels like when going to work itself just in an office feels really scary, could you imagine how deadly it feels for an actor to like well, I'm going to work and I've got to get naked with somebody today or near naked. Like, how scary that must feel. So that's where the genesis of the idea came from. And I was fortunate enough to talk to a bunch of showrunners of TV's sexiest shows and find out all the different ways that they're going to try to cope in order to bring viewers these scenes.
Tell us what, so Bold and the Beautiful, that soap opera, was one of the very first things to go back into production. This is so hilarious what they're doing.
Yes, they were literally one of the first TV shows to go back into production, and they got into production for a couple of days and then actually had to go off production on a quick hiatus for 2 or 3 days while they changed their method of COVID testing. They felt like they had the wrong testing methods, and so they went back into production. They are using mannequins as far as both hospital scenes and for intimate scenes. The producer, Bradley Bell, insists that viewers are never going to be able to know because the things are shot in a very artful way and from great distances. But he was joking that a lot of these actors are kissing latex for the first time.
Wow.
Well, they say it's the first time.
We don't know how many latex fetishists there are among the cast of Bold and Beautiful.
Anonymous exactly. Poll, follow-up article.
I know. Yeah. There's going to be a sequel. There's going to be a sequel to Lars and the Real Girl. Because yeah. That's the only kind of romance you can
that works
you can even
on a
have
soap
right now.
If someone falls in love with a mannequin, I feel like that, like only a soap opera could really pull that off.
Well, it's funny. So, like viewers probably don't realize this, but mannequins are often used in crowd scenes or have been in the past. Like I was talking to the producer, the showrunner of Riverdale, and he was talking about. He's not interested in mannequins for intimate scenes, but he will be using them for, they have it from a graduation still. And in order to fill out the audience, and because you're not panning on the audience for a long time, you can space people 6 feet apart. You can have sort of mannequins in between filling in the spaces and then just dupe it over in post-production. So, and viewers won't realize that they're seeing the same, 17 people over and over.
Right.
You know, Henry, right. I was the most worried about Riverdale when I saw it was mentioned in this article because I love it so much and there's so much banging that takes place. But I liked what is described that, it is kind of a play off the 1950s and the more kind of like tease of intimacy will come back into play in this new season, which I think is great. Because that's a lot of what the first season was. It was a lot of will they, won't they all get together. And now that they have these couples of, Archie and Veronica and Betty and Jughead, they're just banging all the time. Whereas now we can make it a little messy again and we can make them will they, won't they, perhaps. Will they be breaking up? Will they be getting together? Will they be hooking up? And I kind of like the idea of them getting creative again.
Yeah, so that's certainly that's a perfect encapsulation. That's certainly how they described it. And the other thing that Riverdale had planned long before the pandemic was they want to skip sort of the awkward college years that often happen in these teen dramas. And so there's going to be a reason that everybody comes back to town 5 or 6 years later post-college. And a lot of the characters are going to be, estranged is the wrong word, but sort of off in their own stories. So that's going to be able to facilitate storytelling as well. And Julia, exactly to your point, they're going to be doing a lot of more sort of like the tease and the titillation and not exactly like the payoff.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
You are listening to The Jess Cagle Show with the amazing Julia Cunningham. And with us, we have the amazing Henry Goldblatt, great journalist, former editor of Entertainment Weekly, friend of show. He actually launched Entertainment Weekly Radio. Did you know that? I mean, many years ago, EW Radio
is all
Henry Goldblatt. And he just wrote an article in the New York Times, Henry did, about how, production companies and television shows are dealing with shooting sex scenes. Because as all of these shows get back into production, there's all kinds of safety issues. And we'll get to that in a minute, how they're addressing how all the unions are working to keep their employees, their members safe. And one of the things, Henry, that we were just talking about how they're using a lot of mannequins on The Bold and the Beautiful, which is not such a new thing. People have always used mannequins for crowd scenes and things the audience never knew. But one of the things that you bring up in the article, and I think it was somebody from the L Word that really talked to you about this, is we're gonna do a lot more innuendo. So instead of, you mentioned we always knew that Mary Tyler Moore on the Mary Tyler Moore Show had a sex life, but it was never shown. And you didn't miss it. You knew she was a sexually active single woman, but we didn't necessarily need to see it. And we may get back to more of that in as we move forward.
Oh, I think so for sure. The executive producer of the L Word revival, Marcia Lewis Ryan, who's an incredibly talented showrunner, talked about this. In terms of innuendo and also the other thing that she brought up that I really found interesting, and I think we're going to see a lot of, is actors on their show, their real life partners coming in either to shoot the back of their head, like, or a leg or a body part as they're having an intimate scene, or in the case of the L Word, a lot of her cast have spouses and partners who are actors in real life too, and she's thinking of casting them as guest stars to sort of help with the quarantine and the safety issues.
Oh, wow. So that's interesting. So they could be having sex with the other character, but what you're seeing is, let's say that Tom Hanks does a movie with Charlize Theron and they are having sex, but when you see close-ups and he's like biting her leg during the sex scene, he's really biting Rita Wilson's leg. Is that what's going to happen?
Exactly. Just that is the perfect analogy.
I feel like I've solved a huge problem for the next
Rita Wilson,
Tom Hanks, Charlize Theron.
It's going to be called the Rita Wilson's leg theory.
Well, Rita Wilson has the antibodies too, so if that turns out to be effective,
you know what? Yeah.
Rita Wilson should just be the body double for everybody.
Forever, and I would watch all sorts of sex scenes with Rita Wilson. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman.
She's a beautiful woman. She has a show on Sirius.
Yeah. Don't just leave it to the leg. Show that whole bod.
So, yeah. So this is perfect. Okay, let me ask you about this. So there's apparently a 36-page document that the Actors Union, that the Directors Guild, that the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees and the Teamsters, they have all teamed up, all of these unions have teamed up to create a document called The Safe Way Forward. And this is the thing that they're giving to studios to say, and production companies to say, this is how you have to work. And it's really complicated. I mean, not that they made it complicated, but there's a lot of protocols from, you know, people were they're working in zones, you know, they're testing a lot.
Yeah. I believe there are four zones, and the zone one is the most intimate zone in which PPE isn't can't be used. And so that's in terms of filming intimate scenes and fight scenes and what have you. But you can't cross into a different zone for fear of contaminating it. Testing ranges from weekly for people who are in the furthest out zone, who may be catering and stuff like that, to daily or hourly for people who are in the most intimate zone. And the other thing, there's protocols about setting up lighting. There's protocols about how long they can shoot each day. And what I didn't get into in the piece, but is certainly interesting, is this is going to add an enormous, enormous, enormous expense to these productions. And it's going to be interesting to see when TV studios get the bill to bring certain shows back into production, whether they're going to be like, wow, adding this extra percentage amount of expense doesn't make the show worthwhile to get back into production right now. Let's either cancel it or wait another year and a half or two. And that type of thing remains to be seen.
And is there any tension between the studios that have to foot the bill, studios and networks that have to foot the bill for all of this, and what the unions are demanding?
Not at the moment, because there's been so few shows into production. I don't think anyone has, and this is something I'm actually going to be looking into, I don't think anyone yet has sort of gone through with a Excel spreadsheet or a ledger and been like, wow, this is going to add 28 or 50% to the cost of producing this show. We're not sure we can do it. But that's, I think we're going to see a lot of stories like that and a lot of decisions like that being made over the next few months as things go back into production.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Who else did you talk to? There was, you talked to Sarah Gamble, who's the showrunner. She does, you know, she works with Greg Berlanti, and she's the showrunner of You. And there's obviously a lot of sex on that show, where Penn Badgley is sleeping with
and
everybody.
Stabbing. Yeah.
And then killing
her. Yeah.
She is great. She is great. Sarah's not only a terrific writer, she's just a really smart, intelligent TV executive. And she was talking about she was an executive producer in a show called The Magicians, which I imagine many of the listeners have heard of. And she's like, I have used so many sleights of hand over my career. And she's like, I've told my writers, like, everything you've ever done to, as far as trickery, as far as cameras, camera angles, we'll bring it all in because we're going to make this show happen. And as you know, you use an incredibly popular show. And I think to take the sex and intimacy out of it is would be really difficult and be an entirely different type of show.
You brought up the fact that this is not the first time that Hollywood has had to deal with a pandemic, because in the early 80s, when the AIDS epidemic was just on the rise and we knew so little about it, people did not know if you could get it from kissing someone. And that was a really scary time. And famously, there was the Rock Hudson storyline on Dynasty, where he was brought on as Linda Evans' love interest. No one knew that he was sick, but later on they found out that he was terrified of kissing her. And also, after it became public that he had AIDS, that everybody was terrified that Linda Evans had been, infected.
Yeah. It's so weird to think about this, and it's not that long ago in history.
Yeah.
You describe it so well. What I didn't realize, that kiss happened in early 85, and Rock Hudson died not that long later. He died in the year, I think he died in October 85. He was very far along. Linda Evans was incredibly, incredibly gracious about the whole thing and understanding, and had been educated and realized that she was not going to get AIDS from kissing Rock Hudson. And she writes in her memoir that she thought of how touching it was that how hard that he tried to protect her. And she really had a lot of empathy for him.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, it was a sad time. And everybody was real. We know much more probably about COVID than we knew about AIDS at the time. And so, we know what's safe and we know what's not. The average person, however, there's so much misinformation about COVID out there that who knows?
Yeah.
You have a lot of Republican actors who think it's a hoax. So that's a problem.
Yeah. Oh, Henry, I wanted to ask you, have the love scenes with the mannequins started airing on The Bold and the Beautiful? Because
no,
I would like to watch that.
That's a really good question. They're going to be the show comes back July 20th, which is Monday. So we'll be able to see for ourselves whether you can see the mannequins and how well of a job they've done.
I will be tuning in.
Cut to Julia with her face up against the television like Cagney when The Lion King comes on. My dog. What did you said somebody, it was Josh Rames, who's the showrunner for Dynasty, the new Dynasty on the CW. And he said they talk a lot about characters. I don't know why I think this is so funny, but they've been talking a lot about how characters will have phone sex.
So
I think he was kind of joking. Like, he's like, it's come up in the writer's room. But he was so funny. He was a great interview. And as we said, he's a showrunner for the Dynasty revival on the CW. And he was talking about how he's writing scripts that are being like, the characters are going like, well, let's go have sex now. And then cut to the next scene. That was some great sex that we just had. Using all this innuendo.
Oh my gosh. Henry Goblet, thank you so much. It's really informative. And thanks for doing this story, but also congratulations on it. And thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with Josh Hartnett.